Let's talk about instinct. God, when he created man, it grieved him later, as it is written in Genesis chapter 6, that he had made man in flesh. And this was, of course, after the Nephilim, the fallen angels, had come down and taken certain women to wife and so on and so forth. And it grieved him. But when he created man in his image and the angel's image, then he gave them that soul, the breath of life, and what we call natural instinct. Natural instinct is a very present thing, in as much as, let's take it tribal first. When you go to the tribes around the country and one thing and the other, it is their instinct to do things a certain way. Of course, education, in whatever way they are educated or have observed, has a little to do with it. But even as Paul taught in the book of Romans, if you don't have the word, the law, then nature itself will teach you instinct. The word is in the Greek, and it's probably well that you learn a new Greek word today, if you don't already know it, is phosis. Now, kind of like you'd say force in English. F, you would pronounce it, and I'll just spell it the way it would pronounce, F-O-O, emphasize the last O, S-I-S. Phosis, or you might say, as you say, Ephesus, for the word Ephesus comes from it. Natural order. And that's the only way you can pull instinct from the Bible. That is natural. Natural instinct is a part of that word. God gave us that instinct, which is not parallel with our free will, but yet akin to it. The word means the natural order, that is to say, to bud, to grow. And it is the instinct or the natural order of things. If you plant a corn of seed, it's not going to come up as a pea. All right? It's going to stay a corn. It is the natural order of things and the instinct that if you plant a watermelon, it's not going to come up mushmelons, rather. It's going to be a watermelon, as long as you don't plant them too close together. All right? Then they can cross over on you. But be that as it may, everything has its natural order. Now, man, I could go into a lot of philosophies down through time, but Christianity handles this different than most others. Most others simply leave it, such as the Stoic, as the natural order of things. But in Christianity, we have a big plus, in as much as we also, if we partake of it, have divine nature. And quite frankly, you're not all that much at home with the natural order of things, because where did you come from? I want you to think about this now. We're going to do a little thinking today. Where did you come from? Well, my soul came from God. Of course it did. Then what have you got to do with natural order other than your flesh? Really, only that you must live in this earth age. But as Christ taught, you are not of this world. You came here from the Father, and you will return to the Father. So, it is important that you understand natural instinct. Your natural instinct is a built-in thing. You can even have family traits where, like, you might notice when they start to think, they go like this, or they might like this. You'll see the whole family doing it. And they may not have been raised in the same house, even. They are traits, instincts. Of course, education applies into this. I'm going to tell you, it makes a fascinating subject to research if you ever have the time, and can, especially if you can go into the depth of the languages a little bit. Fascinating research of what has been taught concerning natural instinct down through time. But I'm pretty well going to chop it right there, methinks, and only use the Christian Because we have something far superior to natural instinct. We have, if we partake of it, divine instinct, which overrides, in many cases, the natural instinct. Natural instinct is what tells you that it is right from wrong. And how many of you have ever gone against your natural instinct that probably you didn't mess up pretty good, you know? The natural instinct tells you what you should and should not do. And when you cross that is natural, then that's where you get in trouble. Everything that is used in the natural use that God created it, that's natural. That's okay. But when you start misusing the natural way of things, that's when you begin to get in trouble with your Father. That's serious. Now, in this generation, you can get away with about anything you want to get away with whoever your whatever group you happen to be associating with. You can find all kinds. But not your Father. So, how is it then? Let's if you would, let's go to the Scriptures and see what we might glean from them. James chapter 3, if you would. James chapter 3, let's go with verse 7. For every kind of beast. Now, without distracting you, I want you to just write in or make a mental note where this word kind is used. I want you to put in phosis, because that's what it is, nature. That word kind should, in the manuscripts, is the Greek word phosis, which is to say natural order. For every natural order of beast, and of birds, and of serpents. Now, if you translate that to the spiritual sense, that means Satan's children also, but that's a different subject. And of things in the sea is tame, and hath been tamed of mankind. Now, guess what that word mankind is in the Greek? Man's nature. All right? In other words, man's nature is higher are more intelligent than the beast, the fish, the birds. Man's nature is just above that. And when God placed us on this earth, He gave those animals to the six-day creation that they might fish, hunt, live from those natures, that is to say, of the animal kingdom. There are other, why I'm doing this is that I want you to see the different levels of natural order. And again, I would remind you, it grieved God that He had created man in the flesh, which means made him in that flesh natural. And what is my purpose in doing this? I want you to know why this body of yours messes up every once in a while. I want you to know why you mean well, but your nature, unfortunately, man's nature can turn over to that beast nature just a little bit, all right, if he's not right real careful. It goes against his instinct, but it can slide over there real easy. And you must understand what you are before you can improve your own lot with clarity. You must understand what you are with clarity, that you are in a flesh body, your soul came from the Father above, and you dwell in this flesh body, and it has a natural instinct. Let's just go with an example. The natural instinct of this body is that if you're in a room where it's extremely hot, even if you're asleep, the body is going to say fire, and you're going to dream about a fire, or you're toasting on a broiler or something. It's going to wake you up. It kind of, not that the flesh has a mind of its own, but the flesh has instinct. Now, that may sound a little far-fetched, but let it be. That the flesh itself has instinct through the central nervous system. Whether it be hungry, if it's hungry, your old tummy's going to talk to you like nobody's business. If you don't feed me, I'm going to die. Or remember those big old ice cream bars in the freezer? You were all smoothed out here. Think about those big old eyes. You're enjoying your studying and everything, but just for a moment, think about those big old ice cream bars in that freezer. There's a communication there through that instinct. We may be over in the gray a little bit there, but let it be. You understand what I'm saying. So understand that the flesh can just take you and wring you out if you let it in its natural instinct. There are certain natural things God placed in this body as an example that creation would go, that the expansion of our peoples would continue on. Very natural. Very natural. So, with those things taken into consideration, let us understand these vessels that God has placed us in. And now, let's go one step further. Let's go to, the next book after this, only the second Peter instead of the first, just following. Second Peter. 2 Peter, and we'll take chapter 1 there in 2 Peter. And I will show you why that Christianity and its theology or doctrine makes it different, if you would, than anyone else in the world's beliefs concerning nature, our instinct. And you'll find it in verses 3 and 4 in this first chapter of 2 Peter. According as his divine power, I'm reading from verse 3, chapter 1, 2 Peter. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now don't read over that. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All right? I think I said goodness when I read that. Godliness. He has given them to us. Do you want them? All you got to do is claim them, friend. You know, this is one of the things Christians think, I must be meek to inherit the earth. The word in the Greek is humble, all right, before God. God doesn't want second-class citizens serving him. He wants sons and daughters of the living God that are somebody serving him. He gives it all to you. Through the knowledge. What knowledge? God's Word. That's why we study it. That's why we saturate ourselves in it. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're yours, friend. And only with knowledge can you know what those promises are, whereby you can claim them and obtain peace of mind. Otherwise, you're going to be without peace of mind. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Phosis. There's that word again. Only this is not natural nature. This is divine nature, far above that instinct of the flesh man. But what could you do with that? That you could be a partaker. Now that's what separates Christianity from other peoples. That you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust of what? Satan. Let me tell you something. Satan rules this world. And as long as you are in your natural nature, the fact that he controls it is hidden from you. You think you've got it all under control. You think you know exactly how you operate in your little old flesh body. Until you come to the truth, and God's truth, like a large, huge hand, rips away that hidden fact that Satan does not control this world. God only allows him to manipulate. But there's no way that you can see that hidden hand in natural nature without the intercession or the partaking of the promise of divine nature. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a statement. It's a very bold statement. If we observe where we came from, and by Christ himself saying, Father, they're not of this world, then it's your true nature anyway. when a soul returns to its mother, understand, this is in Hebrew from the Hebrew name of God, El Shaddai. All right? And if you don't know what that means in Hebrew, it means within the word, the title El Shaddai. It's not that our father is female, no. But the word womb and breast consist within that name in the Hebrew, which is to say, it was not our mother, but our Creator. If you come from one, you are of that nature, and when you return to it, you are still of that nature. So think about that, and think deeply on it. And maybe then you can better see how that Christianity makes such a large difference in the communication gap of Christians and non-Christians, such as I was describing earlier. And to those on the tape, that was a discussion concerning a modern witness in a court of law whereby digressed people were talking against Christianity. It's very difficult to associate with people of this world when you're in that divine order without using wisdom. You have that promise. You have that promise that you can partake of that divine wisdom. So, I could ask you a question. Which is foreign to you? Now, think deep with me, please. Which is truly foreign to you if the womb that created... I'm going to not use the word womb. If the Creator that created you for His own pleasure, our Father... Then who really are you? Are you a child of this world? Or indeed, I mean de facto, if I may use that term, are you of the heavenly age, the heavenly order, divine nature? It's naturally, you are of divine nature. You are on loan, if you would, to this flesh body. May I use that terminology? Are you following me? Let me see some heads if you're following me, all right? You are loaned to this flesh body to do that God wished be done to save a third of His children that fell for Satan in the world it was. Souls, that is. That He did not have to kill them, He rather destroyed that earth age. Giving us the opportunity through natural instinct and free will to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to claim the divine promise? Or are you going to stay with that's just natural instinct? I said a moment ago that anything that goes against nature is not of God. Now, I want to do something with you, and I hope I can do this with you. There is one teaching in Romans 11. I hope all of you can remember it. That's where... Have God forsaken Israel? God forbid, for I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul speaking. Have you heard not what Elijah saith to the Lord? They've forsaken me. And he said, God says, I've set aside 7,000. The others I have sent the spirit of slumber upon. But there is a remnant today that can still hear the truth. Did they fall simply for the sake of me seeing them fall? No, God forbid. But that the unnatural could be grafted into the natural tree. That word in the Greek is also porthos. That is one unnatural thing that God puts forth. But it has to do with divine nature. All right? We know that the peoples are still separated in the eternity. Because of the word nations, ethnos, used in Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, that the people are still in different families. But we have one Father in common. And they are all grafted into that Godhead. Do you understand? Therefore, even in the flesh, God gives us a glimpse in Romans 11. Of how it shall be in the eternity, claiming today divine nature. All right? Doesn't make it the same. One race is not the same as another race. It's not going to change your color, but you are grafted into the same divine nature, which is to say, our Father. All right? Now, divine nature is wonderful, but you got to be aware of something. There is another nature there also. That is to say, in the upper or the heavenlies. And you're going to read of that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Just turn over to the next page there. Chapter 2. And let's pick it up with verse 10. Peter's going into some pretty heavy stuff here. I believe we can pick the thought up there. Peter states, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Boy, they don't mind talking about a communion service or a baptism anymore, friend. And if you think they don't, you're mistaken. They like to speak evil about anything that has to do with Christ. But it goes to a higher even archangel than this. Verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not riling accusations against them before the Lord. Don't argue with Satan. All right? You know better. Don't do it. Don't argue with him. Just order him out, or he's liable to convince you. You understand? And instinctively, throw him out. 12. But these are natural. Now wake up for me. There's that word. As natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots or blemishes they are. I'm sorry, spots they are and blemishes, spotting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Oh, religion is such a wonderful thing. We can all join hands and worship together. And you allow all sorts of corruption. But it even goes to the angelic world. I want you to just turn right on back to Jude. It's right before, just a book or so behind the epistles of John. I think I want chapter verse 10 of that. Remember, this speaks of those brute beasts, those angels that left their first habitation and are locked in chains, as it is written in verse 4. I'm going to read verse 4 of Jude while you're turning to verse 10. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. When did you know that? Well, where did your soul come from? Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels. This is that nature I want you to be aware of, as well as the divine nature. There is a satanic nature. And the angels which kept not their first estate. What does that mean? Well, they came to earth and intermixed with women, the daughters of Adam. And children were born unto them in the Hebrew tongue, Geba, giants. They were hybrids, not in the natural order of God's plan. That's why he had to bring about the flood of Noah to destroy them. And, hey, friends, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, the seven things that would happen, which are simply the seven seals of Revelation before he returned, he said, hey, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking and giving and dancing in marriage again. Who? The fallen angels. That's why Paul said, you women had better keep your heads covered with the veil and don't worry about your hair or hat. Don't all of you show up here next week with some hat on your head unless you just want to. That veil is Christ. All right? Only Christ can protect you, having Christ in you. Right? He said, they're coming back again. And of course, that's reiterated in chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 7, where Michael cast Satan and these little old angels right back out on us. All right? To see how many have done their homework. It's written, all right? which left their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. In other words, they were in angelic bodies. They knew better, but they still came here, and it was a heavenly law of God that you'll die if you do that. They're going to die. That's why he says they're already judged. Now, verse 10, that's what I came here for, I hope. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. So in enters another phase of this, another level. Not only do you have your natural instinct of the flesh, and not only do you have divine nature, you've also got this brute nature that is of the heavens through the fallen angels, which we could oversimplify it simply by saying satanic nature, because really that's what it is. So, why would I bring that in? They're going to be performing miracles, as it is written, that even the very elect would be deceived if they were not very careful. So you want to be real careful in these. I'm not saying there's not one behind every bush and they're not here now and I don't expect them tomorrow. But at least if you're not going to study your Father's Word so that you're not deceived, it didn't matter when they come, you're liable to get deceived. So know your own nature, know divine nature, and also know that satanic nature. For it is allowed both on earth and in the heavens. And it will grow more so. It will grow more so. Okay, we're going to move right along here. This is not going to be that long of a lecture. I want to go to the book of Galatians, in which we're teaching on television right now. Just after the Corinthian books, letters in the New Testament, we have Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, the subject in chapter 4 here is the fact that you are children of God. And some of the people here are turning back to the law or the natural instincts of the things that were there and taught there before Christ's divine nature set them free. They're returning to it. All right, verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, you did service, that means you were a slave, you obeyed in ignorance perhaps, unto them which by nature, there's that word, by natural instinct, phosis, are no gods. Verse 9, but now, after that ye have known God, you've known the beautiful truth, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? These elements should be translated, the Greek word should be translated, the elementary rules of the natural order, all right, which the law applied to this as well. Beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. You want to go back and get under that stuff, those natural elements all over again, when you've had a chance to have tasted of the divine order of things. That's why Christ paid the price on the cross, that we could take hold of that divine nature and let it root out the evil that might come against your natural instinct, that you can handle it, that you can overpower it. Now, I want to go to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to remember again, what does Ephesians mean? Well, it's the people of Ephesus. Now, I'm going to say you're going to have a great deal of difficulty probably with the tools you have to work with from the group Greek, such as a Strong's Concordance, but trust me, I know what I'm talking about, and you can take it further if you want to study Greek to that point. When I say phosis, and then I say Ephesus, can you hear that word within that? Perhaps, can you hear that same Greek word, phosis and ephesis? You can't you? Ephesis means natural order. It means in the Greek a word I don't particularly like, wish. But it doesn't mean wish like we take wish in English. It means prayer. You know, to pray for, not just to wish like we would say wish in English. But the very name, Ephesians, from Ephesus, means the natural order. The whole book. All right? So let's go there if we may. The book of Ephesians, just following this book of Galatians. Follow, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to recap in your mind the things we have discussed momentarily. And let's start reading with verse 1 of this second chapter and let it just slide over your mind. And you hath he quickened. This word quickened means made alive, eternal life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were spiritually dead. Doesn't mean your flesh was dead. You just simply were lost. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Are you from this world? No, you were walking according to the course of this world age, if I may put it that way. According to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now, and I will add, even now, worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all have had, let's start over. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Don't forget that part added, of the mind. Our mind can really get twisted out of shape if you listen to the things of the world. If you listen to the boob tube, the filth, the corruption, garbage in, garbage out of your mind, all right? Just like a computer. It's according to what you put in it. And I will make another statement. It doesn't matter what you're exposed to in garbage. If you have the divine order, it's real easy to put garbage out. Okay? It doesn't affect you. You know better. You're above it. But we have all, if you're honest, we have all in the past had those moments. You know what I'm talking about. You know what your father is talking about. And were by nature. And were by what? By nature, there's that word again, phosis in the Greek, meaning your natural instinct, the children of wrath, even as others. And friends, if you stay in the natural, that is to say your natural instinct, and never reach up to take that divine nature, this is going to be where you are. I have known people, I believe, in the natural nature that overcame. Never darkened the door of a church and were neighbors of mine that I would say the natural order of thing of just wanting to be a good nature. I have good nature. Well, they were good nature too. But to be a good neighbor made them mighty fine people. And of course, I'm not going to judge them, but I think you could understand why Paul would say, if you don't understand the word nature itself will teach you, you know what's right from wrong and how to be good to somebody and what isn't, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, those people today are like diamonds trying to find them out in the flint rocks of Arkansas. All right, I'm not saying it's hard to find good people in Arkansas now, or Oklahoma, or Missouri, or wherever. But everywhere, it's hard to find people like that. But through Christianity, you have the privilege of whoever you are, of reaching up and taking hold of divine instinct. And if you don't think there's a difference in natural instinct and divine instinct, you haven't understood too much of what I'm talking about, all right? But this is one of those kind of lectures that kind of grows on you, all right, as you think about it and you meditate on it. You know, like the word meditate in the Hebrew comes from the etymology, in a sense, from an old cow swallowing her. She grazes on the pasture all day. And you know how many stomachs they've got? Is it two or four? I was going to tell you, and it slipped my mind. Two, I think. Oh, well. But anyway, they swallow their cud, and it goes down and picks up the juices and material from the stomach after they've been chewing all day. And they come up and they chew that cud, and that, helps digest it. See? So It's like when you swallow something in your mind, go ahead and bring that back up later when you have a moment, like an old cow looking out, just and you're sitting down at night. Bring that back up and say, you know, that was quite a thought. And mull it over in your mind a little bit. I've lost my place now. I'm going to start with verse 4 and we'll catch it up. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. If God can love the people in this world today with their, well, let's take Somalia, one tribe starving another tribe. They're human beings. I don't care what race they are. They're human beings. Are you taking, in our large cities where gang wars, they shoot down little old bitty kids, what kind of world is this turning into? Sodom and Gomorrah would have to apologize. Let's go to Bosnia where the Serbs are absolutely, according to the Reuters wire service, raped 50,000 women to try to destroy the Muslims by simply crossbreeding with them. That's a whole nation participating. If it be true, it was in the Reuters wire service as truth. 50,000 women and young ladies raped to destroy the Muslims as they stand by the Serbs. That's unthinkable. But that's the kind of world you're in today. And I can better understand why our Lord Jesus Christ would say Sodom and Gomorrah would apologize for that generation. We're getting there, friends. We're getting there. And you better thank the Lord God that gives you the privilege of divine nature. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, that means spiritually dead, hath quickened, and remember, made alive, us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, don't read over that, my friends. That's very much a part of this discussion. What did we say that you have the privilege of? God gave you the ability to participate, to be a partaker. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Gave you permission to participate in divine nature, even to the sitting down at the right hand of God in Christ. You don't have to put up with this world. That's what I'm telling you, all right? That in the ages to come, now this is the purpose, my friend. This is why we came here. Listen carefully. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We got a long time to go. Billions of years, there's no end to it. Where do you want to be? And this is not a salvation message. I'm just saying, be thankful. And don't hesitate to utilize the power that God has given you to partake of a more divine nature than this natural beast that we can be. Overriding that and saying, get your act together. But that is just the crude part of it. The divine is that you can have His blessings in your life every day, such as He has blessed this ministry. Listen, let me tell you something. Do you know a miracle when you see it? A little old church in northwest Arkansas that's nothing but an ex-roller rink that in 10 short years grew from the first meeting. There were no air conditioners in this building. The church had no money. Out of my own pocket, I bought two air conditioners. One on that wall and one that used to be in the other wall, but it's gone the way of all dead things. So it pooped out, that other one did. And it's been replaced, and of course we have. But from that to a multi-million-dollar-a-year ministry. Back then, I didn't even know what multi-million meant. Do you know where I'm coming from? God, when you partake of divine nature, and you take thousands of little old people all over Canada, and all over this world, and I just noticed we have a Canadian right here that I didn't notice him here earlier. I would have introduced him, and I will when I quit. You on the tape, yeah, we got a Canadian right here that I kind of, he's going to think that I'm upset by some of the things they said about us having their flag upside down. See, no, he wouldn't do that. Another subject for another time. I'm trying to get out of trouble with people in the tape ministry, and I've already lost it, so be that as it may. Okay. all over the world, people study the Word of God in making this possible, and of course, God doing it. We're living in a time, my dear friends, when God is calling a people to begin to think as He taught them to think. And no one could have said it better than Jesus in John 17. In closing, this is the last one. The book of St. John, chapter 17. And hardly without any comment, I want you to think on the things we have discussed. And I want you to dwell on the words of God, Christ. For it was nearly the last time. And this is the true prayer of Christ, for He is praying to our Father, Almighty God. 17th chapter of St. John. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. I have given them, He's returning to the Father, this is His final report. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, there's twice for emphasis. Christ doesn't repeat Himself too many times. Are we getting there? Do you understand? Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know what the truth is? This word, studied with knowledge into the languages in which it was written. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do you know what a sent one is? Do you know what the word apostle means? A sent one. All right, that's what the Greek is, apostle. And for their sakes I have sanctified Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Again, what's the truth? This word. That's why we study it. Neither pray I for these alone. Now listen real careful. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That is your destiny, my friend. That's what separates you from natural instinct, is the fact that He sends you. You partake of that divine nature, and you take the word, the truth, to someone and give them that blessed hope, peace of mind in a very confused world. We're at that time. So, in conclusion, understand yourself for and don't make any bones about it. Even though you partake of the divine nature, you still have natural instinct. In other words, face reality. As long as you live in this flesh body, you're going to have that. And you are going to have those moments when this flesh is going to cry out at you. Like right now, I'm thirsty, all right? I've been talking quite a while, and my mouth is dry, and my mouth is saying, get some water. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give in, see? All right? But I'm just trying to show you the reality of this. As long as you live in this thing, it's not perfect, but it beats not having one, you know, to do His work here on earth. All right? So, and He has you here for a purpose, and that purpose is to carry forward the truth and help your brothers and sisters. Don't damn those that are in those places of degradation. Pray for them. And if an opportunity prevails that you can plant a seed, do it. Now, I don't mean to, don't mix your profession with, and become a religious fanatic and preach to everybody you come across. That's not what He said. Not everybody's going to hear anyway. But if someone asks for a seed and they've cultivated themselves where they're ready to receive it, are you going to plant it? God help the one that doesn't drop that seed when someone comes up and asks you for a truth, you know what I mean, to a question or something of that nature. So, as long as you're in this flesh, you're going to have that divine nature. So don't think that natural nature, instinct. So don't think you're going to get rid of that. You're not. You're always going to have it. But the divine nature helps you handle it. Because as I said before, the Christian faith is one of the only groups of people that teach that it is possible to totally and completely grow out of or control divine natural instinct. All right? You can handle it in Him. Sure, you're going to mess up. You're going to fall a little short occasionally. But you can make it because of the blood shed on the cross that He forgives and redeems when you do fall short. Don't be disappointed when you fall short that your divine nature said you messed up. Don't get on any guilt trip on me. Thank God that you have the divine nature that warned you or reminded you, and get cracking, all right? Repent and get going. Don't get down. Don't let your chin be bumping your toes, all right? Get up and be somebody. You're a child of God. Yes, you've got natural instinct. That's going to happen. But you are one of those fortunate ones in accepting Christ, that you join Him also in that divine nature. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth, Father. Father, use those that You will, Father. Thy will be done. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.